Hi, I'm Christian.
And I'm Angela, and we are married.
And bored. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Married and Bored podcast.
Yep, we're here. We're back.
We're back again.
For episode 51.
Semi-fresh after Gen Con still.
Yes, Christian's still riding that Gen Con high.
I think so. I think it's going to be something that'll happen for quite a while. Or I hope it does. I hope it doesn't fade.
You keep rubbing it in that I wasn't there.
No, I just...
You're just sticking my face in it.
It's like I said last episode that it's one of those things where I think the longer I'm removed from it, the more things I'll remember.
Yes.
That happened just because there's so much that was going on.
Right.
And the one thing that I wanted to talk about this time was kilts.
What?
Yeah. Do you know how many people I saw wearing kilts?
Oh, like the Scottish wardrobe.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know what you said. I thought you said kiln. Like, you know, pottery class, how you fire the kiln.
Yeah, kilts.
Okay, kilts. Got it.
So many guys wearing kilts. It was just...
Really?
I mean, I'm sure that... Obviously, there are people who wear them.
Did
outside
it seem,
of Scotland.
Did it seem like it was just... normal wardrobe for them?
Yeah,
or
totally.
Were they
wearing
it as a cosplay thing?
No. It was just like, hey, here's my Meeple t-shirt.
And
or my Gen Con 2019 shirt. And then they had kilts, like tacti-kilts.
Well, here's what I'm saying.
Or cargo kilts.
That maybe these men have found out. And the ladies know. Skirts and dresses can be very comfortable. It's just all free down there. You don't have, like, the restriction of jeans or shorts?
I guess I was just surprised. I mean, I shouldn't have been surprised. I mean, you go to a convention with 50,000 people, there's going to be people who dress differently than you.
All sorts.
And I just wasn't ready for the amount of kilts that I saw.
So you don't own any kilts?
No, I never will.
Unless, never. Never say never.
Unless I learn how to play bagpipes.
And then you
which
will
would
wear your kilts.
Annoy everyone in the house.
Not if you play them well.
Well, I will be good.
Okay.
That's a given. Of course.
Any more Gen Con gems?
No, but then I realized that there was a booth that was actually selling these things.
Oh.
And they were like, they weren't like traditional. They were supposed to be cooler. Like,
okay.
Denim is not the right word, but they were more like.
Like weather cooler?
Like pant material.
Or like hip. Cooler.
Well, I don't think they're hip, but obviously some people did.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. As far as kilts go,
sure.
I don't know much about the kilt world.
I don't know either, but they were black, brown, blue, green. I think I saw a camel one.
Those are colors.
Yeah. So there you go. Kilts, Gen Con 2022.
Okay.
Who knew?
Well, if you go to Gen Con 2023, we might be doing a kilt counter.
I don't think so. Well, yes, I thought you were going to say you should wear one. And I immediately went to, I don't think so.
No, we're going to do a kilt counter.
Kilt counter, that's probably okay. I'll try to snap some pics.
Yeah.
With some kilts. Yeah, so obviously, I just said we're riding high from the trip and the influx of games that I brought home.
Yeah.
We just wanted to talk about that. Right off the top.
So, yeah, Angela. That's our what's up.
There's one game that you've been having a very fun time playing. Why don't you kick us off and talk a little bit about our first impressions of Ark Nova?
Oh, yes. So, I really enjoyed Ark Nova. We did a play through halfway because we kind of just ran out of evening.
Yeah. The first time you learn that game, it's a long time.
I mean, if you've played it, you know. If you know, you know. It's long. It's long. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. We just didn't get through a whole game. And then thanks to our new kitten, not our kids, actually, the game board got messed up.
That's true. So we had some meeples batted around.
So we decided to just restart instead of trying to remember where everyone's meeples were. So we restarted and then played a game start to finish. And I am looking forward to more plays. Of course, Christian, you can speak for yourself, but he wanted to just move on and try more games, you know? And I'm like, oh, let's stay on this one for a while.
Right.
No, it's been good. We've played that one. We've played Ahoy. We've played Nacho Pile.
Nacho Pile.
We've played Dice Throne, Marvel Dice Throne.
Marvel Dice Throne, yep.
And Marvel Remix.
Rip.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm trying to remember. Is that all we've played so far?
I think that's all we've played from what we brought home.
Okay.
I've played Cat in the Box.
At Gen Con.
At Gen Con. You haven't done that one yet.
Nope.
It's simple and it's an easy one. We just haven't obviously had time.
No, Ark Nova took up all of our time.
I do like Ark Nova was fun. It, like you said, that first playthrough, we probably could have picked it up where we left off. But it's one of those games where, like, you kind of realize how to play fairly quickly. And then you wish you would have done, like, 8 things differently once you realize how the game works. Mm-hmm. And so we could have just, like, powered through to the end. But right. Starting over with what we learned in that half game, I think really helped and sped up that second game that we played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hopefully, I'm pushing to do an Ark Nova episode as we get more plays in. And I want to play the solo version of Ark Nova.
Yeah, it's definitely one that we're going to revisit. And I wouldn't be surprised if it pops up
so
many times.
Keep your eyes and ears out for that episode. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We did play Ahoy, like Angela said. I had a fun time playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't too sure about it about halfway through. I was winning pretty handily.
Well,
or it seemed like I was.
Yeah, I think you were probably out of 30 fame. So that, like, to give you perspective, the game winner is the one who scores the 30 most, or more.
Yeah.
So I think you were like 7 ahead, but it just felt like your actions were significantly more productive.
More powerful.
Yeah.
Sure. I didn't feel that way playing it.
Right.
But it reflected that maybe in the points.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I can maybe just admit that I didn't play as well as
you. Well,
yeah,
we played it one time. And for those who don't know, Ahoy is the new game from Leader Games. They did Root and Oath, a couple of our favorites. So we
Fort.
I really wanted to jump into that one. It's asymmetric, just like Root, much, much lighter than Root. Teaching Ahoy is not as big of a undertaking.
Correct.
Than it would be to, like, teach Root to 3 new people.
Yes.
But we are looking forward to more of that. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if that one shows up.
Yeah.
The cool thing is about it is when you play 2 players, it's a pretty straightforward area control game.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you add a 3rd and 4th player, the
smuggling.
The 2 players still play area control, but then there's a smuggler who does a pick up and deliver style game.
Yep.
Which increases the revenue of the area and increases, like, the wealth of a region so that those area control people get more points each round. So it's pretty interesting how they all kind of, like, play off each other. So
yeah.
Looking forward to adding more players to that.
I didn't hate it. I just think it's, you know, it's probably in a bad position for me coming off of Ark Nova. It's like, whatever game
follows. We started on the mountaintop.
It would be like, I just want to play Ark Nova again, get used to it, then play the next one, and then get used to that, and then play the next one. But then I understand for you, Christian, that's like, well, I don't want to play this game a month from now. I want to play it.
I want to play now.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially that one, because guess what? It's not even out.
Ooh, it's brand spanking new.
So that is fun for me.
Yes.
Any other ones that you want to touch on of the Gen Con loot?
I think we have liked every single game we've played so far. There hasn't been a dud. I really like the ease and just fun of Nacho Pile.
Nacho Pile is a pushy luck game
for our family.
From Pandasaurus. And it looks like a retro Doritos bag.
Yes.
It's like from 1992.
So it's not a board game box. It's a board game bag.
Board game. Board. Yeah.
A board bag.
Board bag.
A game bag.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's real resealable.
Yeah, keep those chips fresh.
Unlike the 80s Dorito bag.
No.
That was not resealable.
No, they probably used real cheese, though.
Ah, you think the cheese quality has gone down?
Probably.
Oh, Christian. So, that one.
One of your faves?
Surprised me.
Yeah.
I think.
That was one of the ones that you actually said, go find this one.
Well, yeah, because it just seemed... I guess push your luck isn't different than any game we have, but it just looked
cool. Yeah.
And the tiles, I guess you could call them, they're chips. So they just it just looked like a fun game, yeah. And it is fun.
It's one where you could bring over to like Thanksgiving dinner, and grandparents and parents could easily play it. It's really not that difficult.
And your niece and nephew.
If
and
you
your
can
kids.
Count to 10, you can play this game.
Yes.
And that's as easy as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that it's been fun. I'm intimidated to play Brass Birmingham.
Me too.
Because that's the last like big one that we haven't cracked open. We got a couple expansions that add on to other games we already have. So that we just haven't jumped into those yet. So
I'm excited for all of them.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun journey.
A fun journey. Did we talk about last week, remind me, some of the promos and stuff that I got?
I don't think so.
No, so one of the cool things about it is like if you purchase something at Gen Con, like some companies would give you like a promo, like a Gen Con exclusive card or well, all of them were cards or an item that added to the game that you could only get at Gen Con. So that was kind of cool to go and see. I didn't seek those out, but like I purchased Dice Throne and I got a couple promo cards that were like foil Dice Throne cards and then like a Thor's Hammer. One of the items in that game is Thor's Hammer, but I got like a metal version of that.
Yeah, upgraded version. Yeah.
And then the game we're going to talk about today, Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle, I grabbed some promo cards for that too, which I'll talk about them when we talk about the game in more detail for anyone who's interested in the game.
So cliffhanger.
I'll read through the cards and you can kind of tell me how you think they are, like power-wise. Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else we want to check off our list at the top of the show here?
No, I think that's good for now.
Yep, we're looking forward to playing more games. We have a game night scheduled in a couple weeks. What should we play?
Yeah, tell us. Interact with us. Let us know. Write an email to us. DM us on Instagram. Send us a comment. Or, hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah, you could
tweet. What's our Twitter following at?
I think we're up to 30. So, we're past 30. That's great.
Yeah, so if you're playing Ahoy, you've won then. If you're past
that's,
30.
That's true.
So we have won.
Twitter Ahoy winners.
Yes.
If you had to choose a game right now, I'm assuming it would be Ark Nova, the one that we would play at game night.
Oh, well, it's long.
It's a very long game.
So
and we're a chatty group.
Yeah.
So like that one, there's a lot to learn and a lot to do, so maybe not the greatest. However,
yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Be very fun.
It would be very fun. Nothing wrong with being chatty. I don't know if it's the right one for this game group.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nothing comes to mind. I'm just curious because I just started thinking about it too.
Yeah, I mean, new ones. I don't know. It's just we have games on our rotation that we've played before that I like, especially the 6-player. Rising Sun.
Yep.
That's fun.
Unfathomable.
We haven't done King's Dilemma in a while, but we've done the Game of Thrones, Betwixt,
that's right.
So, yeah, there's a lot. If we have everyone there, it's 6 of us, so that is kind of, not in a bad way, but it does limit our options.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, if you have any good 6-player games that you would recommend to us based on anything, any of the shows that you listen to, I think we kind of, if you listened for a while, you get what we like. You get our style.
They get our style.
All right, Angela, let's jump into the next big, segment. I don't know. I was going to say the next big thing.
The next big thing.
We're going to talk about Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle. All right, everybody. You have made it to the meat of this sandwich.
Love it.
Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle. How long have you wanted to talk about this game on the show?
Ooh, well, I have loved this game for probably 2.5 years.
Okay.
I think we got it about 1.5 years ago.
Sounds about right.
And I don't know if I ever thought we would talk about it on the show because it was primarily a game that I played with the kids.
Yeah, it's a popular game in our house during the summer.
Yes. Or like breaks, like spring break, yes, or fall break or winter break. So I just never thought it would be a possibility for the show. But then, you know, July 31st came around and our kids have Harry Potter calendars. So
that's so true.
It was Harry Potter's birthday, July 31st.
Was it?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And, or sometime in July, maybe I'm getting the 31st wrong.
But super anyway, fans will let us know for sure.
Yes, let us know. And then, you know, earlier this year, there was the Helen Mirren show, the Hogwarts trivia game show.
Oh, and like the reunion was on this reunion year too.
And so it's just been a Harry Potter filled year. We probably finished reading all 7 books as a family a year ago. And then, you know, of course, as we went along with that, we watched the movies. So yes, this has been a long time coming.
Well, why don't you get us started, Angela, and just explain a little bit, or not a lot of bit, on what Hogwarts Battle is.
Okay. I'll do a medium bit.
Sure.
Hogwarts Battle is a cooperative deck-building game for 2 to 4 players. If you get the expansions, that does allow for a 5th player. Players take on the role of one of the iconic Hogwarts students. We've got Harry, Ron, Hermione, or Neville. Again, the expansions bring in Luna and Ginny. And then you work together to progress through years 1 through 7 of Hogwarts by defeating villains and then ultimately Voldemort.
Ooh.
The way you do it is through building your starting deck of 10 cards with more items, spells, and allies that are increasingly more powerful and allow you to do the damage to Voldemort at the end.
Yeah. I mean, this is a classic deck building game. Mm-hmm. If you have played Dominion, if you're a fan of Clank, those are classic deck builders. This is the same mechanics.
Right.
You're going to play cards. The cards you have in your hand, you might be able to draw more.
Right.
You might not.
Yeah.
You might be able to buy more. You might not. Mm-hmm. Then you discard those, and then on the next turn you draw from your deck, shuffle them all again when you're done, and rinse and repeat.
Rinse and repeat. Easy setup, tear down. I think it's, yes, at first. Like, the game starts out pretty small because...
Yeah, why don't you explain, like, how they kind of progress and teach you the game?
Yeah. Well, I was going to talk about that during a different segment.
Oh. Well, I mean, I think it fits here, too. Okay. So we can...
So, Christian wants me to talk about it right now. So, I would say that it's easy to set up and tear down because it kind of walks you through the process of what a deck builder is. It does say that if you're very familiar with deck builders, you can skip right to year 3.
Oh, it does say that.
It does say that. I think even though we read that, we played year 1, well, 2.
Our kids had never played one.
Yeah. So... every year comes in its own sealed box, and then you open them up and get more cards, sometimes things other than cards, like tokens or dice.
Yeah, it would add mechanics, new mechanics as you went throughout the years.
Yes.
Yeah.
So for game 1, year 1, there's not much. Everything 2 through 7 is still boxed up, and so then... It's just, I guess it's slowly builds.
Okay.
So now, like if you're talking about our family sitting down to play this, now we have opened all 7 years. And not only that, we've opened all the expansions.
And the expansions work in the same way as well.
Yes. It's not years anymore. It's like boxes or packs. Yes, but, yeah. But still, it's the same way. But we've defeated or accomplished all of those. So now when we open to play, it's a lot to set up.
There are a lot of cards. It's a deck building game. And so the board is, it's a large board for for a card game. There's a lot going on. You have the game deck that has all the bad stuff that happens. Mm-hmm. Then you have to get all your villains.
Yep.
You have to make a stack of those. Mm-hmm. And depending on how hard you want to make your your game, you put different ones or different amounts.
Yep.
Then there's the market.
Yep.
Hundreds of cards probably.
There's chits and tokens.
It just takes it takes a bit. There's a lot going on. The gameplay, luckily, is not as difficult.
No, I think it's really accessible. Especially, I mean, if you are sitting down with people that know Harry Potter at all, like, and enjoyed it, they don't have to even be super fans. I think they would really enjoy this board game and not find it tedious to learn.
No, oh, okay. Yeah.
I think that because it walks you through things, and I would not call it a tutorial. So if we're giving it that type of
vibe,
that's not what we mean to say. We just mean it's not starting off like super intimidating deck builder right off the bat.
No, it's limiting you cards.
It's like, here's the only cards available.
Yeah. The market's pretty small.
You're only doing one villain at a time. Okay, now we'll do two villains at a time. Okay, now we'll do three villains at a time. So, like, you're kind of learning how to handle more complex mechanics.
Just like Harry, Ron, and Hermione did their years.
Yes.
Aww.
And it's cooperative. So
That's big.
You're all working together.
Yep.
You can talk amongst yourself at the table and try to figure out what's best for the team. Or if you're like our son, sometimes you don't care what's best for the team. You just want the coolest thing.
I need to play Felix Felicitas because it's cool.
Yeah.
Not because my sister has one life left and I can save her.
Yeah, no. No, yeah. So it's really easy, I think, for new gamers or people that don't normally play modern board games could definitely come in and play this one.
That's great. I think it's a great entry for those Harry Potter fans.
Yes.
Definitely. 'Cause it's one of those games, I think you can even find it at Target, but where I see it a lot is like in the collection, like the collector area in some stores.
Oh.
So like Barnes & Noble has at least ours, has like a Harry Potter section.
Yes.
And it's nestled in there. And it looks like it fits. It doesn't look like a nerdy board game. You know what I mean? Like it looks like a trunk.
Yeah.
And it can attract people that way. I think that's really neat.
Yeah, I really like the way they have marketed it to capture a wider audience.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm really excited to talk about the theme.
The theme. Well, we love, obviously, Harry Potter. And I think just the visually how the box looks helps with that.
Yes.
It makes it just, not complete, but it just ties everything together.
I think it
all makes sense.
Yeah. This game is on my top five, I think.
Whoa.
Of games that do a good job of creating the world you're living in.
Is that a separate list than top five all time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't put Star Wars Rebellion in my top five of all time.
Okay.
But I do think that
it builds
the world.
Great stories.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this feels like you're playing the movies.
Okay.
Or the books. Sorry.
Oh,
sacrilege.
Oh my gosh. Well,
oh my goodness.
The pictures are all from the movies.
Yes. Yes. So like it feels like you're doing the things that Harry and Ron and Hermione and Neville would do. Their abilities mimic what these characters would be good at.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And
the abilities for me is where it's at.
Yeah.
In terms of like matching the Harry Potter theme.
Yeah. And the villains' abilities match what they would be good at.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And, you know, when you get into expansions, there's creatures and I just love getting, you know, allies on your team that would make sense for your character. So my son loves that too, and that's why he always plays Ron, because Ron is really an ally-friendly hero to play. He just does well with allies on his team.
Well, especially if they're Weasleys too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he loves to get all the, like, he likes to have the big ally team.
The gingers.
Yes, the gingers. And then I like to play Hermione. She's spell-focused, which...
Yeah, maybe we should just say what each of them do, mm-hmm. because each of them play a little bit different, and when you're playing the game, you might want to look for cards that help do that.
Yes.
So you did mention Ron. He's about allies and hitting stuff.
Yes.
Hermione is about spell cards, mm-hmm. which also hit stuff and give you money. Mm-hmm. Neville
is about hearts, but he also benefits from discarding.
And hearts are
health.
Healing people,
mm-hmm.
which is why he's a herbologist.
There you go. And then Harry.
Oh, yeah. The main guy.
There we go.
I was thinking, there's one more.
Yeah,
who is it?
Who is that guy?
HP himself.
He's good with removing threat, which is just basically the game's way of showing that the villains are taking over.
It's the timer of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you've played any co-op games, you know, Marvel Champions, which we never talk about here.
Never.
Same kind of thing.
Yes. So I just think, you know, the pictures, the way the game mechanics work, it just all makes you feel like you're living the movie. And it's cooperative, so it's like the movie again. You're all working together to get rid of these Death Eaters and dark forces. And
Voldemort. Our kids have fun with this, too, because they get their Lego figures that match the character they're playing, mm-hmm. or even the allies they have, and they put them out.
Yep. They love that. Oh, in year 7... well, spoiler. I don't think it's too much of a spoiler, but you get, you have to collect all the Horcruxes.
Oh, that's,
destroy them. Sorry.
I mean, that would make sense, right? That's before, the story of the...
Before you can defeat Voldemort.
Yeah, that's really neat.
Yeah, I really like it. I think it does a fantastic job.
Yeah, and there's one where you eventually learn how to do a Patronus, and that helps you throughout the whole game.
Yep. So that's an expansion.
Yeah, and then there's ones where you can be like specialized in a school subject, and those give you even extra bonuses. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of replayability with the theme too, because like you could do Harry, who's really good at dark arts. Well, duh, that's what he's good at.
Yeah.
Or the next time you could play Harry, and he's What's one?
You mean like the special?
Yeah, like one that would give him more money. Or,
yeah.
You know, like there's different bonuses that you can add to your character to kind of make it more interesting each time. So.
Yes. Okay.
Do you have fun playing this game? I mean, obviously it sounds like you do.
Oh, I have so much fun playing this game. I think that it's just something. It's a game that I'll always want to play. If someone says, hey, do you want to play, you know, Battle of Hogwarts, or what is it called?
Hogwarts Battle.
I will always say yes.
Okay.
What about you, Christian?
I don't like this game as much as you do. Because I think it's hard.
It is hard.
And I know that's just like, oh, he's such a wuss. He doesn't like hard games.
You're not a wuss.
I just don't. I think I've said it many times, when the game wins a high majority of the time, you lost me.
Okay.
It's got to be more 50-50.
Okay. Yeah. And that's totally fine.
Because with everything being so random, it can seem very overwhelming in one against you. And it's just like all of a sudden we're on turn three and it's like, well, we're never like, it's impossible at times, depending on what villains come out. Like they could just stack so well in their abilities. And it's like, well, there's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah. And that is tough, especially as the game progresses. The villains start out and stay strong, but you start over with your starting hand of 10. So you don't get to keep the deck you built from year one to year two, and then year two to year three. You always start over with your 10.
A basic deck. Yeah, that's classic deck building.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're on year seven, you've got some of the hardest villains shuffled in there. So if they happen to pop up while your deck is weak.
Yeah. It's like, oh, great. Bellatrix, turn one.
Yeah.
And what's his name? Malfoy, too.
Oh, Lucius. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, I get it. There's times where certain villain combinations can just make it seem impossible.
Would you ever, or have you ever just been like, okay, guys, this is impossible. Let's just stop. Or do you just play it out even though you know you're going to lose?
I feel like I've thought about it, but I don't know if I've actually ever done it.
Okay.
With the kids. I guess there have been times where it's been dragging on because of that.
Like you're barely holding on, like just staying even. Like we do two damage to the villain. The villain heals two damage. We get two damage. We heal two damage. And it's just like everything's neutral.
Yes. So there's been times like that. And then eventually the kids will be like, we know we need a break. And I'm like, yep. And then we'll all just conveniently
forget that we played.
Yeah. Like reset it up.
Okay. Yeah. It's, I enjoy it in moderation.
Yeah.
It's not one that I would ever choose to play.
Aww.
Like if someone asked me, would you like to play a game?
Yes.
Why don't you choose? I don't think I would choose.
You'd never choose this.
Unless it was like that and something else that I really don't like.
Right. If it's the choice, would you rather?
Villainous or Hogwarts Battle? I would choose Hogwarts Battle. But you know what I mean. It's just not. Yeah, I just don't like being. I want to have a good time. And constantly losing is not a good time for me.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's fair. And I think I just disagree.
All right. Fine.
I get the feeling of feeling defeated, but I don't want the game to win 50% of the time.
You want it to win more than that?
Yeah, that seems too easy.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe talking about it in percentages just isn't a very good idea because then you're thinking like, oh, I'm just only going to win one of every four times I play.
Yeah.
Whereas I think of it more as like, are we synergizing the abilities of our heroes the best we can? And because when you do that, you just get this feeling of like, oh, yeah, we're rocking and rolling. Like, we're drawing, we're getting coins, we're hitting people. And you just, it's that awesome feeling of, like, watching power stack. So, that's what I like about it.
Yeah, that is the high of the game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, once you start going. I just feel like you can, in this game, and maybe it's built in, it's never a guarantee. It's like, we've got this. And it's just like, well, no, you don't.
No, because it's never a guarantee.
In this turn, three people just died.
Yeah.
And we lost, you know, whatever.
Yeah. No, that's true. It's never a guarantee. And I think I'm willing to live with that a little bit more than
me.
You.
Yeah, it's got high highs and low lows.
Yes.
And for me, the low lows are outweigh the...
The low lows?
Outweigh the other side.
All right. Well... Having said that, do you think it's worth it for us to own it?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you've played it so much. Even this summer, you got it out while the kids were home and played a few games. I played a few games.
Yeah, you did. Are you yawning thinking about
it? Yeah, I'm so bored of it. So yeah, of course. I mean, we flew through the first box, mm-hmm. and immediately we were like, let's get more.
Right.
Because we have to see these new characters. Our daughter looks like Luna. So we had to do that. And, you know, it's one of those things, it's in a world that we like
to be in. Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like even if we never play this game again from here on out, it still would have been worth it because we've played it so much already.
Yeah, this is a game that we would never get rid of. And I don't think, I could see us playing this game every summer.
Yeah.
Like, even as new games come out.
Definitely.
Why wouldn't we revisit this?
Yes.
So who should get this game?
I mean, any Harry Potter fan
Okay.
should have this game. And if you're in for a challenging deck builder, I think this is a good one.
It's tough. And mm-hmm. the expansions make it tougher.
Yep.
Which they have the reputation to do.
Yes.
And I mean, it's tough for us. It goes a little smoother when it's just Angela and I. Mm-hmm. With the kids, it kind of, you know, you throw a wrench into it. You have a wild 6-year-old who just plays cards because he wants.
Right.
It's fine. It's fun. We're teaching him how to mm-hmm. play games, and he's loving it. So,
yeah.
If you love deck builders, like I mentioned at the beginning, if you've played Dominion or Clank, and you're like, man, what else is there in this world? Well, there's a Harry Potter one.
Yes. And it's a very... I think just sometimes when things get like an IP slapped on them, like Marvel or Harry Potter, mm-hmm. some people can just like gloss over it.
They write it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, it's Harry Potter sequence mm-hmm. or it's Harry Potter Labyrinth.
Yahtzee.
Harry Potter Yahtzee. And so, oh, this is just another game that just has Harry Potter's name on it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Or Monopoly's great. Like, that's the...
Yeah.
How many different versions of that are there?
Yes. But I actually think this game is a very good game mechanically, even if Harry Potter weren't the world it was living in.
Okay.
So...
Yeah, that's awesome.
Would say, if you at all fit into those categories that we mentioned, deck building, Harry Potter... Both for us. Go ahead and get this. I would recommend the expansions if you enjoy the base game.
Is there one that you would recommend first?
Well, it's hard because I want to say the order we went in.
And that's all we know.
Because...
Why don't we just tell them what it was?
Yeah, we bought the Creatures box first, okay. expansion. So that added Luna. I don't believe it added the ability of a fifth character...
Player.
A fifth player, but it just added another character.
You could swap her out.
Yeah. And then it added creatures and villains, not just one or the other, and detention cards.
Ugh, that's the worst.
Which is just like, you know, it's like a wasted card in your hand.
Yeah.
And then the, what is it, charms? Charms and potions. That's the one that adds Ginny. That adds some new game cards, or what they're called, dark arts cards. It actually adds a new board. So this is where the play space can get really busy because you're starting to make potions over here, and then you've got your regular game board.
That's right. And there's new cards too that are like ingredients mm-hmm. and pieces that are ingredients to make your. I don't even know what some of the potions do. What do they add? Is it like plus gold or health or?
Oh, yeah. It can be. So the potions are either a really good thing, one-time use, or you can add them to your deck for
Like ongoing effects.
An ongoing, but not a really good ongoing. Like, it's never bad.
No.
But it's just less powerful.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Check it out. Any last words for Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle?
I don't know. I think I've talked it up.
All right. Yeah. We definitely recommend this one, especially if you're the fan of Harry Potter. If you have young kids who are, this could be a great game to just kind of jump into if you're wanting to get them to play more.
Yes.
With you.
This episode is sponsored by Showit. Are you stuck in a boring website template? Maybe you don't even know where to start. Experience the true creative freedom with the drag and drop simplicity of a Showit website. Our website, marriedandbored.com, is a Showit website, and we love how simple it is to create. Get started for free at showit.co. You won't be disappointed. Well, here's the part of the show where we normally talk about what topic surfaced while we played the game.
What marriage means to me.
Oh, okay. Christian, that's our other podcast.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. But this time we just wanted to, since we talked about Hogwarts Battle, we just wanted to talk about other Harry Potter games that we know of and appreciate, kind of like a wink to some other games.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that, if there's something on the shelf that has Harry Potter on it, we're going to look at it,
yeah. Right?
Like if it's at the game store at
Barnes and Noble.
Yeah, if it's t-shirts, books, whatever. Like,
yes. It doesn't mean we'll buy it.
Yeah, our family's interested.
But we'll look.
Yeah. So there are so many Harry Potter themed games out there.
Mm-hmm.
You have your
sequence. Your code
is
names.
Is there a sequence?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
There's code names Harry Potter.
What do you think about themed code names?
Like, well, yeah, because it's narrowing it down.
It's so, yeah, just in general, like Codenames is not my favorite game by any means.
Right.
But the fun with Codenames is connecting three unbelievably different things.
Right.
With the word felt. And you're just like, oh yeah, I've got it. Basketball, turkey leg, and scuba diver.
With felt.
I mean, yeah, that's just a great example.
That is a great example.
That probably never, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
And so, like, if it's just, if you're in the world of, like, we tried this with Disney code names for our kids. And I think it was even, like, Code Names Junior. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't work.
It doesn't work as well, I don't think.
No.
I think you're right. I think it just narrows it down too much.
Okay.
But I don't know I feel like there's like two classes of games. There's like games that exist and then they just slap the Harry Potter IP on it. And then there's games that are completely their own game and mechanic. They just happen to be a Harry Potter game.
Yeah, for sure.
So those are the ones that we tend to like. Although we do have Harry Potter Trivial Pursuit.
We do have that, yeah.
And we do have Harry Potter Strike. Which is a quick dice game.
Strike is a fun game. It's really weird how like simple it is.
Yeah.
And what I like about Strike is that the the box turns into like a battle stadium, like a coliseum.
Gladiator.
And this is just a Harry Potter version where every die face has a spell on it. And so depending on what's showing, you can do that spell.
Yes.
In Strike, it's just a bunch of X's and numbers. And I think in the regular Strike, the numbers mean that you get to do something. I don't know for sure, but
yes.
Strike is funny because I see that one pop up on like Instagram and Twitter in like waves. Like are like, oh, we're at a convention. We played so much Strike. And it was just like, because that's what they played at the convention and everybody had a great time doing tournaments. And then you don't hear about it for a while.
Yeah.
And then another convention happens and you're just like, oh, there's Strike again. Like it doesn't go away.
It's always lurking.
We've had fun with that one. Because it's easy.
And the other one that I just wanted to give a shout out to is Harry Potter Death Eaters Rising.
Ooh, we have this one.
Yes. And if you think Hogwarts Battle is challenging, This one is very challenging.
Do you think, yeah, so do I like this game?
So Christian does not like this game. In fact, I wanted to do both this one and Hogwarts Battle, and he gave it a very subtle veto.
That's not why.
He was just like, we don't need to talk about Death Eaters Rising.
I mean, we are talking about it, but I just felt like we didn't need to dive as deep into it.
That's probably true. It's another cooperative one, but it's not deck building. It's dice. And you're working as a team to try to defeat Voldemort again, but it's completely different mechanics. I would say it's an easier setup and teardown. And there's probably less replayability.
Why? Just because there's not as many cards? Or
There's just, yeah, you know, it's not like you're uncovering years expansions.
It's pretty straightforward once you've played it a couple times. You're not gonna experience new things.
No, the replayability comes with, like, oh my gosh, I haven't beaten this yet, so I still gotta try it and try it and try it. Yeah. And I love that challenge so much that this is not a solo game, but I would just sit and play this two-handed. Like,
you did that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, because...
And you're like, I won. I was like, no, that's impossible.
The kids get frustrated with it because it's so hard. Christian gets frustrated with it. And for me, it's just like a challenge out there. Like, okay, I'm gonna get you.
Look, I like dice games. That's why I was excited for this.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a bunch of Rising games. There's like...
Oh, that's true.
There's Thanos. There's Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. There's all the big IPs have something like this. And I was like, oh yeah, let's do this. I think we got it for our daughter for her birthday a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of fell flat because it was so... so difficult.
Yeah, but not for me, apparently.
It's just, it's unforgiving. I feel like if you could just tweak a couple of the rules, not that it would still be hard.
Right.
But it wouldn't be as unforgiving.
It's punishing.
It's very punishing. Like, you can't, the rule that I hate the most... And maybe I'm thinking about this wrong. Like, once you assign a dice to something you try to hit or rescue, you can't move it.
No, you can't.
So I'm just like, well, I rolled. I have everything I need for this card.
But I wasn't originally.
I didn't originally say I'm going for this card.
Right.
That rule is dumb.
Yeah. Okay.
In every other dice game.
Yeah, you can assign as you see fit as after your final roll.
Yeah, look at it. Here's a dice game right here, Ange.
Oh, he's waving it in my face.
This one is not very popular, but I like it. Marvel X-Men Mutant Insurrection.
Yep.
We did a show about this 2 years ago.
Was it that long ago?
Maybe it was like right before lockdown. Well, right before lockdown. That'd be 2 years ago. So
I don't know. We're going to have to check the records on that one.
It doesn't matter when it was, but...
It's a dice game.
It's kind of the same thing in a way. You play the game. You're playing against the game. It's co-op. Mm-hmm. You build a team. And then you fight bad guys. You fight Magneto. But then when you roll the dice, you can put them wherever the heck you want.
Yes. I feel like that one's not on par, but it's pretty unforgiving.
Maybe I just have more... I don't know. Like, it's just that one rule that doesn't sit well.
Yeah. I can see that. I'll give you that.
It's so limiting. It's like, well, everything that's going to go bad, I can only possibly I have to decide that I want to do this before I even get to see what I roll.
Yes.
That's the thing with a dice game. It should be like, let me roll and then see what I can do
based on what I roll. Okay. You can. You roll, and then you get to see what you can do, but once you assign it, you can't then unassign
that, it. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
If that rule were gone, much better.
Okay. Creators of the Rising Games.
That's my little house rule. They'll probably never get played, but...
No, because that would be
big
cheaty pants.
It's not in the rule book. Oh, man.
Christian, You love it. You love our differences.
The one thing I do like about this one, though, if you're interested, is that you get to build your team as you go. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you start with a starting character, let's just say it's Sirius, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to go rescue Cho Chan because she has this dice. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I got Cho on my team. And then you're going to go rescue Neville. And then you're going to go rescue someone else. And then mm-hmm. you're going to go fight Draco. Like,
yeah.
That is fun.
Yes.
The way you do it all, not fun.
Got it.
Extra silence.
Well, no, I just didn't know if you were quite done. But yes, no, that's fair. I can see that.
Yeah.
I just, maybe I have more grace for it because of the theme.
Yeah. I would love a fun Harry Potter game for me.
Yeah.
I don't know what that would be.
I don't know either.
I would love, I don't know if like a Mansions of Madness style Harry Potter game would be fun. Mm. I don't know, like exploring the castle, Hogwarts, you know, it moves, a bunch of tiles. Okay. Maybe there's something there that's app driven, or I'm trying to think of other, there's like, I know there's like a Quidditch miniatures game that was on Kickstarter a while ago.
And there's wasn't the worker really placement one.
There's a worker placement game, the school,
yeah, I think
school class competition or something.
Class competition.
But yeah, I know there's other ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't really like wowed me.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Yeah. I would say we haven't bought them because they haven't wowed us. So
yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's it.
Yes.
For Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. Let's wrap it up. Put a bow on it. Send it to the owl.
Sign, sealed, delivered.
Send it off.
And we will be right back to talk about what's bringing us joy.
All right, Ange, we're going to wrap up the show like we wrap up every show. And just talk about a little bit, you know, dig a little bit deeper into the lives of Christian and Angela. Beyond this podcast and board games.
Beyond board games.
Beyond insanity.
Into infinity.
So I'm going to start because I'm rude.
No, Christian, hey, why don't you start?
Oh, thanks. Thanks for the invitation to start. What's bringing me joy outside of board games? The past couple weeks, I have been, I'm not new into this, but I follow this band. It's not really a band. It's just a guy in a garage.
This is getting shadier and shadier.
He invited me over.
Oh.
No. You know, like, what's that band from Minnesota? The Owl City. Like, he just...
Oh, yeah.
He does his own... Like, it's a band, but it started with one guy. It's called FM84. I'm really into, right now, this, like, weird retro synth, retro wave music. I was born in the 80s, so it's like the soundtrack to Stranger Things.
Okay, yes.
Is my jam. Right? I know I talked about music last week, but like...
But you talked about Tick, Tick, Boom.
Yeah, it's very, very different.
Yes.
That is more like lyrically crazy in a good way. This is sonically crazy.
Whoa.
You like that word?
I did.
And it just brings me back to commercials when I was a kid, cartoons, interludes in between scenes and stuff like that. Anyways, FM84, there's a band, there's an album called, I don't remember what it's called. Anyways, he only, Atlas, there you go.
Atlas is the name of the album?
Yep, he only releases the vinyl for this Atlas album like once every 3 years. It's like super, he doesn't do it very often. The album is already like 6 years old or something like that. Anyways, he did a release for it like last week, and he was releasing 1,000 copies, and I got one, so I'm excited for that.
Whoa, Nelly.
Yeah, so it's cool. I'm excited I got one. I'm going to be listening to it. I've got the only thing that I'm a little bit bummed at is I have a cool record player that plays them upright.
Yes.
And so, like, I like to get limited edition or special pressed records that are colored because I get to see them more than, like, a regular record player where you just lay them flat. Right. This is just black. It's just a regular record, which is fine. But it's still a super rare record.
That's cool.
And then one of my other favorite bands called The Midnight, they have a new record coming out in like 2 weeks. So I'm looking forward to that one coming. So that would be good.
Yes. Wow. Nice. Yeah. Lots of music in your life.
What about you, Ange?
I'm going to keep it real simple. Your mother and father just came back from a summer in Minnesota, and they brought back with them some cherry almond jam. Actually, I think they got it from Door County, Wisconsin. Not 100%. Not 100%.
100% sure.
Sure, but I think so. Anyway, I was like, you know, oh, that's so great. Thank you. I'm not like I don't hate jam. I don't love jam.
You weren't ready for that jelly.
But I tried it on toast and it blew my mind.
We had breakfast for dinner tonight, which is awesome, by the way. If you don't do that, why?
Why aren't you doing that?
And you're like, you have to try this jam. I had it for breakfast.
So I had it twice today. I had it for breakfast and I had it for dinner.
It was good. Like, I don't deny that it was good.
I could, like, drink it.
Ew.
It's so good.
It was very good.
I kind of want some right now.
Are you going to have a midnight jam sesh?
Yeah. Like, what? I need another vehicle for the jam. Because it's not like I want to have toast
every time?
Every time. It's like, I want another vehicle for the jam.
Hey, Google, how do you eat jam? No, that didn't work.
So, I'm just saying, little things
forks
can bring you joy.
Jam joys.
Jam joys. This has been Jam Joy.
Well, we had a great time chatting Harry Potter, Hogwarts Battle.
Yes.
And a little bit of other games in the Harry Potter universe. Angela, do you want to just wrap up the show like we always do? Just kind of tell everybody where they can get in contact with us. And let us know what game we should play at our next game night. We don't know if we'll play it. Like, if you tell us what to play, that doesn't mean we're going to play it.
So, we want your opinion, but we might not take your
opinion. We just need suggestions. It's like, you guys should play Gloomhaven. And then you don't have it, so go buy it.
Okay.
That's not what I'm looking for.
We would love you to contact us about anything. Well, maybe not anything.
Jam.
Well, jam is fine.
Jam sessions.
Sure. Jam sessions. Also, board games.
Mostly that.
If you want, you can contact us on Instagram. We are at Married and Bored. You can DM us or comment on something there. We love to interact with people on there. If you have any suggestions or comments about Gen Con, we'd still love to hear those.
Yeah, if you guys win, I'd love to know about it.
Last week, yeah. Or have any questions for Christian because you didn't go. Then you can also contact us by emailing hello@marriedandbored.com. Where our website, marriedandbored.com, has a form filler that you can fill out. And Twitter, we are @marriedbored.
That is correct.
I always have to look at him because I'm just not sure if I'm saying it right. It's @marriedbored. Got it. And of course, I would love to mention again that if you enjoy this podcast and you like listening in on our board game chats, we would appreciate a review.
Yeah, on iTunes.
On iTunes.
Makes us easier to find.
Yep. And with that being said, we are excited to bring you a new game next week.
Whoa. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Married and Bored podcast. And guess what? We have a website where you can listen to podcast episodes and so much more. Find us at marriedandbored.com, or you can email us at hello@marriedandbored.com, or follow us on Instagram @marriedandbored. Music in this episode is by Joseph McDade. See you next time.